Hi, listening friends. Don't despair if you're an Illini fan, a Bears fan, a St. Louis Cardinal fan, because on today's edition of Mark and Friends, there is a good news message. So come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together with my two special guests in the studio, Pastor Herb and First Lady Cheryl Coates, on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, October 6th, 2014. Well, Pastor Herb and Cheryl, it's a great privilege to have you both a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends, and I really don't even know where to start except to maybe give a little background and embarrass you both. So I don't know how that is, if that's going to be a good start, but I love you both, and in fact, you've been instrumental in my life, in my marriage. In fact, Herb, you helped officiate with co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo, I guess 10 months, I almost could, exactly, it was January 1st, so an easy day to remember. But I'm going to take our listeners back into some of my observations of you two, because I've loved your marriage from the first time I met you two. It was, I guess, about 3 or 4 years ago. I was on a trip to Israel, and I don't think we had met up before then, right?
Right.
No, we hadn't.
I think I had just learned that there was an interest in you attending this trip to Israel. And so we met up. I think we had an orientation meeting and a gathering or two. And then on the trip, you did a unique thing. You recited Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Well, you kind of acted it out on the Mount, on the Sermon on the Mount, on an area or a vicinity where Jesus may have spoke those words. You kind of dramatized it in such a way, because you had memorized it, that you used your body language and emphasized certain things. And I was just captivated, and it blessed our group. But another thing that I noticed throughout the trip is you guys held hands, you looked at, into each other's eyes, and I just marveled at this wonderful marriage.
Thank you.
This man and woman loving on each other, caring for each other, supporting each other, honoring each other, and I was just really impressed. So I kind of observed that. Well, I don't know, it was about 6 or 8 months after the trip, I remember seeing you two at the Texas Roadhouse, and I was at a far table with some friends, and you were just looking into each other's eyes. I think you were holding each other's hands, and I thought, you know, I got to tell those two, I'm really impressed by their marriage. And so I did. I got up, I came over and maybe embarrassed you a little. I said, hey, I just want you guys to know that I really marvel at our time in Israel, and yet also here you are in a restaurant. You didn't know I was maybe casually observing you from a distance, but I thought, you guys got a great marriage. And I think I shared that, and you said, hey, Mark, it's not perfect, but we do love each other. We are each other's best friends. And God brought us together. And then I can't remember, it was sometime after that, we hadn't had the opportunity of meeting up. And then, lo and behold, I meet this woman named Holly. And Holly had all these requirements. I had to meet with her friends. I had to meet with her pastor. Before we could even become friends, I had to make it through this criteria. And then even if we became friends, we could maybe date, but we wouldn't be boyfriend and girlfriend till time had elapsed. And she said, you'd first have to meet up with my pastor. And I said, oh, okay. And in her mind, I would set up an appointment, and then maybe a month down the road, I would meet up with her pastor, and then he would maybe give some insights to her whether he was a good guy or not, and so forth. And so Holly tells me her pastor is Herb Coates. I'm going, oh, Herb, he was on a trip to Israel with me. I know Herb. He's a great guy. I think he would think I'm an okay guy. And so I got off the phone with Holly, and I called you up like within a minute or two, which startled her. She couldn't even believe later on when she learned that. She's like, you did what? I said, oh, yeah, I got to call him up right away. And so lo and behold, I guess you said Mark's a pretty good guy and so forth. And now it's been about a year since we started dating and all that. And then a few months later, we said, Herb, this is really serious. We're both at a point in our lives where we feel the Lord is leading. We know what we want. I, at the time, was 53. She was 46. And I said, you know, God is all over this. And you agreed that you would participate in our wedding, but then that would mean at least 4 or 5 marital counseling sessions. So it was kind of funny because we had to go through 4 or 5 with you, and then also my co-host on Wednesday and Friday, Jason Schiffo, Pastor Jason Schiffo. he required the same. So one time we spent like 2 hours with him, then we had another 2 hours with you, but it was all great and good. And so there's a number of topics that I want to cover with you two today, because I know some of your faith journey, which thank you, God, for godly parents and grandparents and the legacies that some of us have grown up with, parents that love the Lord, that modeled those characteristics. Your unique calling, you've served the Lord in a pastoral role, I guess, for about 36 years at a number of different churches. And so I want to have you walk us through some of your own faith journey, and you too, Cheryl, and some of the special verses that God has put on your heart over these years, and then also the 125th anniversary that's coming up this Sunday at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church right on Mattis Avenue in Champaign. What's going on this Sunday? So with all that said, I think I've laid a little groundwork. I know you attended Greenville College many years ago. That was your first calling, but actually it was in high school where there was a pivotal moment. I think in that senior year, you moved to Decatur, and God had already put on your heart a calling to be a pastor. So that young, God could call you, huh?
Yeah, he did. Actually, I came to Christ as just a young boy growing up in a Christian family. My father is a Free Methodist pastor. My mom and dad just loved the Lord so much. So it was just the most natural thing for me as a boy to want what they had, because I saw just authentic Christianity lived out at home. Cheryl's story is much the same. I'll let her tell that. So I gave my life to Christ as a young boy, but as I looked at especially in my junior high years and my early high school years, I was just up and down a lot in my fervor for the Lord. And
now that's some of that's because you were like football, basketball, competing interests, would you say?
Yeah, I would say that. Not football. I'm a pretty small guy, but I was a guard in basketball, and I played baseball. I was on the track team and in the drama group at high school and so forth. And so I had a lot of different things going on there. But, you know, I had this trying to straddle the fence. And I always loved being at church, and I saw a real reality there in the lives of a lot of the people at church. I certainly saw that reality in the lives of my parents. And yet I wanted to be popular at school and that kind of thing. And so I was one of those kids that would kind of go up to the altar every once in a while, you know, and recommitting my life. And it was really my junior year in high school when I just really put down a stake and I just realized I was waffling. And it was in that junior year, it was actually during the month of April, that I sensed God calling me to be a pastor. And part of my struggle was I come from a long line of pastors, and I had people ever since I was knee-high to grasshopper say, "You're going to be a preacher just like your dad, right?" And I was really kind of fighting that. I didn't know whether God, you know, I didn't know if God was calling me or that was just an expectation, because my name is Herb, my dad's name is Herb, my grandfather's name was Herb, and it was like, you know, here's this expectation. And so I was in a little bit of rebellion, and in that junior year is when I really came to peace with God about this, and I understood God's call to my life. Then I moved my senior year, between my junior and senior year, we moved to Decatur. And that year, the Lakeview High School burned down, and the Stephen Decatur High School shared our high school with another school, with Lakeview. And that meant I was just going to school half day. I've got job in the afternoons. And so instead of doing sports, I got a job. And then I got involved in Bible quizzing. And here just took my love for competition and my love for the Word of God. And it was just the greatest discipling thing for me.
It helped you to really focus.
Really helped me to focus. And because I think I had been so up and down in my life as a Christian, that verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58, when I was first memorizing scripture in Bible quizzing, it was in the King James Version, and it said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And that verse was actually the first sermon text I ever preached from my senior year in high school. I started preaching then.
And where was the occasion?
That was in Decatur on a Sunday night. I remember there were five preachers in the congregation. And
no pressure, right?
Oh, man, I was sweating like crazy.
Did you have like a sport coat tie on?
I did, and I asked my dad. I said, "Dad, can I take off my coat?" And he said, "I got to wear it. You got to wear it." So And those preachers said nobody in the congregation was pulling for us like we were. You know, we were pulling for you. But it's that text. You know, of course, that's all based upon that wonderful resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 about the, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the foundation for our faith. And because of all that, therefore, you just need to stand firm. You need to hold steady. You need to continue in the work of the Lord. And so that has just been kind of a life verse for me. You know, I just want to be unmoved. I don't want to be this up and down Christian anymore.
Let me read the NIV version. Sure. Many of our listeners are familiar with the King James version, but NIV, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, 36 years removed, have you seen that fulfilled, that your labor in the Lord has not been in vain?
Oh, I have. I have. And, you know, I read statistics today about finding out that out of every 15 pastors, only one is going to start as a pastor and actually retire as a pastor. And I felt like this has been God's call upon my life, and I want to be steadfast in doing that. And Jesus talked to his disciples about bearing fruit and fruit that remains. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to do. And it's not in vain. Yeah. You know, people are coming to know Jesus. And so I praise God for that.
Well, I've done some shout outs of late about the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. Holly and I are part of the Alpha Group, and we are also a part of a Good Hope Group prior to that. Mm-hmm. And actually, last year we were part of an Alpha Group, and that's when we were dating and starting to do ministry work together. But I've loved the variety of people that attend the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, from all the international students to the baptisms. I've never seen so many different people being baptized over the course of like 6 or 8 months or the past year that I've attended there on and off, and just the variety of people from different backgrounds and ethnicity, I don't know, whatever that word is, but there's blacks and whites and Asian, and it's just been so refreshing. And you're not hesitant to tackle some tough topics. I know a few weeks ago you were preaching on the Trinity, and I love the disclaimers and just saying how this is not going to be an easy topic, but I want to address it because it's threaded throughout Scripture that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I thought you did a wonderful job at helping take us all through this truth that's foundational and fundamental to our understanding of the Scripture, that this lofty view of God that we can never fully explain, and yet we want to bring Him glory and honor, and He's revealed Himself through these three, yet He's one, yet He's manifested Himself. And so I was just intrigued. It was a wonderful message, and I know the people so appreciate your dedication to dividing God's Word. And that's part of your calling, would you say, that it's proclaiming God's Word? And is it exhortation to exhorting, encouraging people to grow?
Yeah, I'm called upon to rightly divide the Word of truth, you know, proclaim God's Word faithfully, and it all comes down to it. I don't really have anything to offer except what God has given to us, you know. So I, in this world of so much bad news, I get the joy of sharing good news all the time.
You know? And you spend hours in preparation, reading, studying, the outline. I know you usually, there's a bulletin insert that people can kind of fill out and walk along. So you have to do some preparation each and every week.
I do, and Cheryl's a great help with that, she's my office manager. And, you know, the way I preach now is a little different than the way I preached for many years. The first 3 decades, I didn't use PowerPoint all the time, but it's because of the internationals. We have so many internationals, and they tell me, I understand so much more of what you're saying when I see the PowerPoint and I have blanks to fill in, you know. And so since Friday is our day off, that means I need to be done with my sermon by Thursday noon so she can do the PowerPoint and the note-taking guide for me. So, yeah, but apparently is meeting a real need for the internationals, and so I'm very glad to do that.
Well, you mentioned this office manager, this asset to the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. Cheryl, thank you for joining us, and thank you for the calling that's on your life, because behind every great pastor is that first lady, and I know you've been integral in Herb's life. So, Herb, maybe a shout-out or two and introduce to our Great News Radio listeners this woman of God that has served alongside you for these past 35, married for 35 years, correct?
Right, that's right. That's right. She is my best friend, and she is a dear sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. She's a tireless worker, and she lives out the faith. She's actually the dearest Christian I know.
Hmm.
So I can't say enough for my love for Cheryl.
Thanks, hon. Mm-hmm.
Now, serving as office manager under your husband, I'm sure presents some challenges and then some unique abilities to be right there, to be assisting, to be helping. Take us a little through that, and how long have you been serving him in that way? And then I have to get some of this love story in our remaining 6 or 7 minutes.
Well, we've been at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church for 8.5 years, so I have been serving as the office manager for that whole time. In our other pastorates, I did as much as I could in that area, but my ministry has taken on a number of different forms through the years. My degree is actually in education. So for a number of years, I was working with the children, and I was actually in the school systems for a while. So, but I really love working with my boss. it's a real joy for us, to be honest with you. I mean, we just really have a lot of fun with it. And I can honestly say I never get tired of being around him.
Yeah, I think one time you were introduced as like, yeah, she fell in love with her boss or something, because people at the time didn't know she was working with you or however. It's kind of a unique way of introducing each other. How about sharing and taking us through a little of your faith journey? Because I know you both met at Greenville College. So what degree were you pursuing at the time?
Yes, it was education, elementary education. That's where I did get my degree. I grew up in a very strong Christian home. My dad is also a retired pre-Methodist pastor, and so our backgrounds are quite similar. But I became a Christian at a very young age. I was preschool when I came to Christ. My story is not just of God's saving grace, but really his keeping grace. I remember just growing up loving Jesus. I honestly, Mark, don't remember not knowing him. And, you know, for a while I thought maybe I really didn't have a testimony, because it's been a steady just falling in love with him for all of these years. And I saw a consistent walk in my home. The same man, I can say this about my husband too, the man that was in the pulpit was the man that came home. And it's that way with Herb. He walks his talk. He does. He's real. His faith is real. You know, the way he expresses himself there is no different than the way he loves on me when he gets home. So He's a godly man. In fact, I've told Herb before, he's not only been my husband all these years, he's been my pastor. And I have grown under his ministry.
Now, you mentioned almost loving Jesus from the time you were a child. What does that mean? What was it about Jesus? Because there's some listeners that say, Jesus, wasn't he a great prophet, a teacher? Was he Christian, blonde hair, blue eyes? Didn't he, you know, they have those paintings on the wall. He grew up in California or something. Like, what was it about Jesus that drew you to him at an early age and that he continued to reveal himself to you because he is the living, reigning Lord that you've stayed close to him all these years?
Well, I did accept him as my personal Savior and Lord. I believe in him to be who he said he was, that he was the Son of God. And it's been a personal friendship, just pouring over his word, spending time with him in prayer, connecting with other Christians, and growing under their faith stories. It's watching him at work in the lives of other people. And one of my favorite verses is from Ephesians. And it's now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's really kind of the end of Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. And you know, I grew up as a kid with a wild imagination. Mm. So when I look at that, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, you know, I just have always thought, wow, Lord, you know, I have a pretty wild imagination. Mm. You can do more than that.
And I'm thinking, what a great benediction to end our program with,
sure,
huh, this
sure.
Ephesians 3:20 passage and the reference. And, Herb, we didn't even get to talk about what's happening this Sunday, the 125th anniversary of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. I know there's going to be some special guests and people returning that have been an integral part of this ministry these many years. And so maybe in our closing minute or two, give our Great News Radio listeners a time and what's going on.
Well, it's Sunday, October the 12th, and at 9:30 we're going to have about a 45-minute service where we're going to be singing Christian songs down through the decades. Mm. So over the last 125 years, what have been some of the main songs we've been doing and some of the stories behind those and involving a lot of different people in different ways? And then at our 10:30 service, we're going to have our bishop speak. Our superintendent's going to be with us. We're going to have former pastors back here with us. It's just going to be a great time of celebrating God's hand upon us as a church and the way that he has worked in and through us in this community for 125 years. And following that, there'll be a reception. People will be welcome to stay there and just to visit with one another, celebrating what God's done for us.
In case you just tuned in, I have Pastor Herb and Cheryl Coates in the studio with me on today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you tune in tomorrow, we'll have them back to share some more of their faith journey, what's happening at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church this Sunday. So it's beginning at 9:30, and then there's a 10:30 service. And then for those that want to hang around afterwards, there'll be some reception and fellowship time. Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church is located on Mattis Avenue, the west end of Champaign.
1913 South Mattis Avenue.
1913 South Mattis Avenue, just south of Kirby Avenue. I'll close out now with a portion of a song, a classic, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, one of the hymns that'll be sung this Sunday at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. So come on out and enjoy the worship and festivities. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
When the roll is called up yonder.